to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, folks, it has happened. It has arrived. The winds and the storm of financial crisis are arriving upon our land. The Greater Depression of 2008 is upon us. Now, the economists can debate all they want and call what's going on in our world, in our financial news, a recession. Make no mistake, folks, this is it. This is what the real prophets of God have been trying to warn about for the last several years. And those of you that have your ears to the ground, you've been listening to the prophets try to warn the people and the church and those that will listen. You have heard them say, get your house in order, get your spiritual lives in order, because the dark days are looming, the dark days are upon us. The hand of God is going to smite the land with His judgment, and it is time to come back to the God of your fathers. The prophets have been saying that. They have been crying that message for years, brethren. Folks, this is it. The storm is arriving. This is what I have been trying to warn about in my short existence here at thewatchmanscry.com. This is what I have been trying to communicate and to relate, to wake up the people of God and the people that are out there, to the people that will listen, to those that will have the ears to hear, the eyes to see. Look around. This was the message, folks. A few months ago, God gave me a word of warning. The words were said that the judgment of God has begun upon the land. And because the people of God did not hunger for the word, prepare to see the people hungry for food, hands looking for food, people living in their cars, people losing their houses, people standing in line to get their food. In the past, I have said in my articles, get out of debt, pay off your car, buy an older one if you can, buy one that's free and clear that the repo man cannot take away. Get food. Famine is coming. So my question to those of you listening would be this, brethren, have you done it? Have you heeded the words? Have you gotten out of debt? Have you stopped spending your money indiscriminately, buying things you did not need? Folks, it's going to get harder and harder. I do not know what the news is going to have today on the front page, but I have a very strong feeling that the news stories and the headlines are going to get more and more ominous. Over this weekend, they're going to become more ominous. Now, I've had a lot of emails from some people saying that all you do is talk about gloom and doom. You need to talk about good things. Well, you know what, folks? I have been accused of being paranoid, but my paranoia has substance because right now, the substance is showing itself. The substance is rearing its ugly head. From our shores to Europe and to Asia, the financial markets are crashing. They are crumbling. Billions of dollars is vaporizing every day because of this unsure market. And it's going to continue. And those that delay are going to pay a higher price. It's going to become more and more expensive for those that delay. So please, folks, those of you listening to me right now, do not delay in doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. Folks, who's had the guts to be warning the people of God? How many pastors have been warning the people of God to be prepared? How many pastors on Christian TV have been warning the people of God to prepare for the days that we are about to start living? How many, folks? Brethren, I have warned over and over and over that there are thieves and liars and frauds out there that do not care about your soul. You know, there are a few people out there that have tried to warn. There are prophets of God that have tried to warn every one of you, but their numbers are low and few and far between. It's very sobering what's happening right now, folks. I'm just amazed at the stories that I'm hearing. Now, in the past year or two, we've been witnessing the introduction to the coming collapse. The banks have started to fail. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac failed and got taken over by the government. And now we just had an insurance company get taken over by the government, AIG, 80-something billion-dollar bailout that happened with them. But the government's going to throw a net of money to them to save them. Then we had Lehman Brothers go bankrupt. You know, Lehman Brothers was such a powerful corporation. They were over 100 years old, and they actually weathered the first Great Depression. They survived it. But now, in 2008, rest in peace, Lehman Brothers. They're gone. So where's the market going to go now? Where will the bottom be? A lot of us are wondering the same thing. I'm wondering, folks, and a lot of you are wondering as well. You know, brethren, I am not a financial analyst, and I'm not a stockbroker, but if I could sit down privately with anybody that was my friend, I would tell them, if at all possible, my brother or my sister, I would get my money out of the stock market, if at all possible. I really would. Now, some of you that have retirement funds and you're locked in with those things, you can't do it. But some of you that are just playing in the stock market, I would advise to get my money out of there. You know, and I'm not the only one saying that. A lot of rich, very, very wealthy people who are billionaires are saying the very same thing. They've taken their money out of the stock market, and they are gone. They have left the country. Some of them have put all their money into foreign markets, into foreign currency. But they are saying themselves that they can see the writing on the wall, that the United States financial system is going to collapse and it's going to crash. And those people that have put all their bets on the American financial system are going to have very, very sad days ahead. So, if at all possible, folks, that's just my two cents right there. Now, I have also said in a lot of my previous programs, and I have said in my articles that are on my website, watchmanscry.com, I have said that the whole purpose of my existence and the agenda that I have is to communicate the study of the truth of Bible prophecy so that the remnant of God can know what to look for in the days ahead as far as what's going to happen in prophecy. That's my whole purpose, folks. I want to communicate the truth to every one of you. Now, in communicating the truth, you know, people fall into their regular way of living, into their paradigm of living, you know, their status quo way, their culture, their traditions. And as Americans, you know, as Christian Americans, part of the tradition of being an American Christian is to be very patriotic and to be a Republican and to like all the things that go into that package. And I've said that before. You know, to be an American Christian, you need to watch Fox News on TV. That's the one of choice because they're fair and balanced and they're not going to lie. And also, if you're a Christian, you need to be a Republican and you need to listen to Rush Limbaugh on the radio because he's going to tell you the truth. Well, folks, you know what? I lived that lifestyle for several decades, and in the past few years, I have woken up to the fact that that lifestyle is not all that we think it is. There are a lot of things in that lifestyle that aren't true. It's pretending. It's like the emperor having no clothes. In a way, it's a religion. It's really a religion because a lot of people put more faith into what they hear the Republican Party saying, or a politician that might be a Republican, or a news analyst, or someone on TV who's a Republican, or who's on the radio who's a Republican. And it seems like there's a brotherhood that anyone that's a Republican, you believe them no matter what. Well, folks, in the last 8 years, that lie has exposed itself to me and to a lot of you. I've spoke to a lot of you that have told me the very same thing. Ever since 9/11, ever since we've had to endure the last 7 years of this president, Mr. George W. Bush, I've come to the conclusion that the two-party system is a lie. It's a fraud, and it's not true. You know, a lot of the things that the politicians campaign with, the promises that they make all these promises and they sound good, they sound pure, and if they're a Republican, they try to get the evangelical vote so they sound spiritual. They talk about their faith. And then when they get elected into office, you see the total opposite happening. You see them pass laws that go against Christian faith, that go against what the Bible would say. You see them do things that go against what the Bible says. You know, over and over, every time a new president runs for office, I see the same thing. He's pro-life, so I need to vote for him. I remember Ronald Reagan saying that. I remember George Bush's daddy saying that. I remember George W. saying that. He's a pro-lifer, and he's going to stop abortion. Well, folks, here we are, 7 years into this enduring time of George W., and how many abortions have been stopped? Let's be honest here. Zero. Also, let's be honest on this, folks. George W. ran on the platform that he was going to stop partial birth abortion. How many of you remember that? You remember that? Well, what is partial birth abortion? That is an abortion where the baby can reach full term and his head can come out and then he's killed. He or she is killed, murdered, butchered. You know, a new baby that God created, 9 months in the womb, feeling safe, and then all of a sudden they come out of their womb to be murdered, sent into eternity with not even a chance to live as a baby and a toddler and a child to experience some of the joys of being a human being. They're butchered, folks. They're butchered. And Bill Clinton legalized that, and George Bush said he was going to put a stop to it. Well, he did sign a law saying that it was a ban on partial birth abortion, but do you know what it really was? How many folks can remember this? You know, instead of the entire head coming out before you kill the baby, now the new law, according to George Bush, was the head can only come out no further than the eyebrows. So it can crown, and the eyebrows can come out, and then you can still murder it. So it didn't stop anything. And by the way, if the head happens to pop all the way out because the contraction is too strong, and then the head comes out, it's okay because the doctor can say that they had the intention of doing it before the head came out. So that's as far as we got on the pro-life stance of Mr. George W. Bush. Well, you know what, folks? 1 million babies every year does not sound like pro-life to me. I'm sorry, it doesn't. And I saw that happen. I've seen it continue to happen, and I hear the lies from all these politicians who run on platforms of pro-life, and I don't see it stopping. It has not stopped once, folks. Not one law has passed that's going to stop this. So for a Republican to get up there and say they're pro-life and things are going to change, folks, it's a lie. And now here we are. Here we are with a new candidate. You folks know who I'm talking about, Sarah Palin. In my last program, I said I didn't know much about her, but I've had a lot of time now to watch her and see her get interviewed, and I watched her at the Republican National at the convention. I watched her at the RNC give her speeches. And folks, let's be honest here. She's a politician. That's all she is. And you know, honestly, she might have some good intentions. I'll be fair, she might. But once you get into office, all bets are off. Folks, this world is controlled by Satan. He's the god of this world. There are some very powerful people. And some of you say, oh, you're talking conspiracy theory. Well, say whatever you want. There are very powerful people who do exist, that tell presidents what to do. It's going to be this way, Mr. President, or we can have you replaced. It's that simple. You know, Governor Jesse Ventura tells a story. How many folks remember him? Remember the previous governor of Minnesota? He was a pro wrestler and a Hollywood actor, and now he lives in Mexico. Governor Jesse Ventura talks about when he won the election to be the governor of Minnesota, and on his first day of being the governor, when he showed up in his office, there were some people in his office, and they were sitting in his office making themselves comfortable, and he said, excuse me, can I help you? And they said, we just want to get to know you and introduce ourselves, because we're going to tell you how it's going to be. You know, now that you're in office, we're going to tell you who's in charge and that you do what we say. And of course, Governor Ventura, being a pro wrestler and a maverick of sorts, he told them where they could go, and he kicked them out of his office. And he didn't put up with it, so he made them leave. But they were CIA officials who were going to tell him how it was going to be. And, you know, folks, that happens in governorships, it happens in presidential positions, and it happens in a lot of political positions. You know, it's just like the Todd Bentley thing. So many people wanted to have their head in the sand and say, no, no, it's not bad. He's not bad. There's no evil in this world. It's all good. They're all good. Well, folks, it was revealed now that it wasn't all good, and there's bad. Now, is it remotely possible that if preachers are not going to all be good and they're going to be liars and wolves and deceivers, how much worse is it going to be for politicians? The paradigm, the facade of the left versus the right, the Democrats versus the Republicans, you know, the donkey versus the elephants, the liberal versus the conservative, it's all a lie. The two-party battle is a scheme, folks, making fools out of blind Americans who want to really be patriotic and who really do care about this country and who do not know any better. But that's what it is, folks. It's a giant Ponzi scheme, and it's not true. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying it because we all witnessed, folks, the previous campaign when W got elected. When he ran against Al Gore, we witnessed it. We went through it again when he ran against John Kerry. We witnessed it. And look at us now, folks. Let's be honest. Look at our country now. You know, a lot of people, historically, if you've lived long enough, have always said Jimmy Carter was the worst president that we ever had because interest rates were so high, they were in the double digits, the misery index was so high, the gas lines were high, and it's true. He was a crummy president, and things were bad then, folks. We saw the birth of the Trilateral Commission under Jimmy Carter. We saw a lot of bad things under Jimmy Carter. But let's be honest, folks, that was nothing compared to what we have witnessed in the last 7 years. Under a Republican Christian president who was supposed to make everything right. Folks, we're about to enter the Greater Depression. How many trillions of dollars vaporized last week off the stock markets? You know, the amount of money, of wealth that's just going up in smoke, just disappearing off the sheets, off the stock market records because how things are going down? That's happening under this administration. Well, you can't blame him. The Democrats are in charge. Yes, that's true, folks. That's my point. They're both liars. It's a joke. And the reason I'm trying to make this so clear, folks, I want to wake you up to realize this because the Bible says that when the beast rises up and takes over the entire world, when the governmental system of the beast takes over the whole world. The Bible is very clear and says people are going to, because they're patriotic, worship the beast. Folks, patriotism is going to send people to hell during the tribulation time. Their patriotism. Now, the beast isn't going to just be one nation and all the names of nations are going to be erased when the beast rises up. The beast is going to consist of a lot of the countries that exist now. They will just be rearranged in their regions. Just like we have the European Union in Europe, we're going to have the North American Union, the South American Union. We're going to have all these regions. And in the North American Union, we're going to have Canada, the United States, and Mexico. So citizens of each area are still going to be citizens of each area, and they're going to be patriotic to their countries during the tribulation. My point is, folks, this is what I'm trying to say. Patriotism will send you to hell. It will, folks. And we need to realize that it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a lie. So are you saying I shouldn't vote? I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm just telling you that if you vote in the Republicans now because some woman goes to an Assembly of God church, then you need to just be prepared to be able to admit when the next phase of the New World Order starts up, congratulate yourself that you voted that party in, because, you know, folks, no matter who gets voted in office, the New World Order is coming. If McCain and Palin get voted in, the New World Order is going to come. If Obama and Biden get voted in, the New World Order is still going to come, no matter what. It's not going to be stopped. Folks, your faith should not be in a politician. It should be in Jesus, in Yeshua, in our Savior. It should be in God, in Jehovah. Your faith should be in your Creator. We're pilgrims right now. We're sojourners. We're strangers here. We don't belong here, and we're not going to be here for a long time. Our lives are just a vapor, brethren. They're just a vapor. The Bible tells us that. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, the mortgage that we have with God doesn't get foreclosed on. Our lien holder of heaven, he's way more faithful than these people down here on earth. And we cannot put our faith in humans, folks. They will fail you every time because they're doing it right now as we speak. So what's the conclusion? What am I trying to say? Both parties are full of liars, cheaters, and thieves. Both parties are guilty of destroying the future of your children, folks. Both parties are. Sarah Palin is not going to be the answer. I've heard some people saying, maybe she's Esther. Maybe God's raising her up for such a time as this. Folks, God right now is judging this country. He's judging the land. He's trying to wake us up. He's spanking our land right now, folks. We don't deserve for a Savior to rise up out of nothing to save us. Do you really think that God wants to raise up a person that's one of His to save America from going through some bad times when we have 3,000 to 4,000 babies murdered every day? Why do we deserve a Savior to be risen up for us? Why should Sarah Palin be our Savior if the gays openly parade themselves in the streets and celebrate their abominations? Why should God raise up Sarah Palin to rescue us when prayer has been taken out of schools? Why should God raise up someone to rescue us when adultery is running rampant in our church and homosexuality is in our church? Why should He rescue us, folks? The Bible says, when a land sins, I will send, this is God talking, I will send pestilence and the sword. I'll send famine. God says it, folks. Are we above that? Are we really above that? No, we're not. And we are witnessing right now the spanking of God, folks. You know, the prophets have been saying this over and over throughout the land. The prophets that are allowed to be heard right now, some of those names that you hear about, they're all saying the same thing. God is judging the land right now, folks. There's nothing that's going to stop it, folks. Now, are we witnessing the very beginning of the book of Revelation? Are we on the very beginnings, folks, of the tribulation period? Is it about to start? Or will the time of sorrows go on for a few decades? I do not know. That part, I do not know. Is this spanking just a spanking that will happen for a few years, 5, 10 years, like the first Great Depression, and then we will recover and rise up again, and then another decade or two later, the tribulation will start? Again, I do not know, folks. I'm not going to set dates, and I'm not going to make those promises, or even try to speculate on that. But I do know one thing. God is trying to tell the church, He's trying to tell His people that we need to come back to Him. That's the bottom line. We need to repent and come back to Him, to live for Him. He wants the preachers and the pastors to repent and come back to Him. So to get people's attention, folks, it has worked throughout time. History has proven it. The Bible is very clear about that. We have the Bible to show us that, and it says it. When the judgments of God are upon the earth, then the people of God learn righteousness. It says it in the book of Isaiah. So these times that are ahead, folks, they're needed. They're needed to purge us and to bring us back to the God of our fathers. So this bailout, let's talk about the bailout, the rescue plan. You know, the past few weeks, the U.S. Treasury has injected $400 billion into the markets. One day they'll throw in $25 billion, another day $75, here's $100, here's $20, here's $50. Almost half a trillion dollars has been spent just the last few months by the Treasury, throwing and injecting money to try to keep the stock market afloat. Trying, folks, but it hasn't worked. They spent half a trillion dollars and it did not work. And then we had what happened last week, and the reports have come out that we were very, very close to an entire worldwide collapse of the financial system. So they're doing this bailout now. It's a bill in Congress. I've read it. And folks, let me say this. If this bill in the current form that I have here in front of me passes, I will say this, folks. The beast of Revelation just grew about 2 feet, if it passes. It's very, very chilling, the things that are in here. Essentially, what it says is the U.S. Treasury will be allowed a piggy bank with $700 billion in it to buy bad loans from banks or financial institutions, or if they have any sort of bad loans that have to do with the mortgage market, the government will buy those loans to take those loans off the books of struggling financial institutions so that they look better and so that their profits will be safe and assured and so that the CEOs of these companies will be safe and assured in their bonuses, basically is what it is. So what this thing is a bailout for the rich, for corporations. Now, when they make all their money and their profits, these CEOs have their golden parachutes where they make $5, $10, $100, $200 million a year, folks. Per year. Outrageous bonus numbers that these CEOs get. But when they start losing money, the government's going to bail them out. So this is corporate welfare on the backs of all the citizens, on you, the taxpayer. So the profits are private, but the losses are public. That's called fascism. And that's what this bill essentially is. It's fascism. And if this bill passes, folks, we are going to see another nail in the coffin that's going to take us to the New World Order and the Mark of the Beast. The coming financial system that will ensure that people cannot buy or sell without having the mark. This financial system that's going to be forced down the throats of every citizen of the world essentially got another breath of life in this bill that's about to pass. Big business is going to get rescued while the little people, you and I, are sinking into the economic mire, folks. They bail the big companies out while Joe Sixpack is getting laid off. You know what, folks? The human side of me gets very angry when I see this. It's a total wash. It's a ripoff of every one of you, of your children. It's a joke. Who's going to pay for this bailout? You will. Your kids will. Socialism in America. America is buying up all the companies, all the financial institutions. We are becoming the socialist country that we used to read about when we were growing up in high school when we read about the Soviet Union. That's America now. That's the America of your future. Now, folks, I don't like big government. Do you? Big government intrudes in your life. Big government tells you what to do. Big government is expensive, getting bigger and bigger. You know, the Republican platform takes pride in saying that they're not for big government. And the Democrats, of course, by all intents and purposes, are known for big government. But look at us, folks. Here we are 7 years later. We have Homeland Security that got birthed 6 years ago. And now this bailout is going to create an entirely new area of government worth more than half of the budget. A huge part of government, folks, is going to be new employees. And, you know, folks, big government is the bane of all citizens worldwide. It is. History shows us that. Tyrannical governments are big. Tyranny needs big government to be the machine and the monster that it is. This bailout will have a cost that is far more reaching than any of us ever imagined, folks. You know, when the beast rises up out of the sea, it had its whole infrastructure in place. In Revelation, when it says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, it was already created. It existed when it rose up. The infrastructure. We are about to witness a huge part of that infrastructure get created in the next several days with this bailout plan, folks. We are about to see it happen. Mark this down, brethren. In the days ahead, when you start noticing the new powers in government, the new tyranny that's coming, the new laws and the rules, when you see it start coming, folks, remember which political party you voted for. Just do that. Remember which political party was in office when all this started, when you see it, folks. Just remember. When all the changes took place, which party was in power when all this happened, folks? Which one? Well, right now we see it happening. It's happening before our very eyes. The tyrannical government buying up everything, becoming socialist. Who was in charge? A Republican. You sound like you're a Democrat and you love Democrats. I do not like Democrats, folks. I am not a Democrat. Democrats are worse than Republicans, to be honest, as far as the moral ticket goes. So there is no way that I trust them either. What I'm trying to say is, folks, the two-party system is a lie. I'm trying to communicate the point that both of the parties are corrupt. And they're proving themselves to be corrupt. They're proving themselves not to give a hoot about you or your kids, because they're rescuing corporations right now with this bailout plan. There is nothing in this law that talks about rescuing the people losing their houses. And in the next year, it is expected that another 1 million people are going to lose their house through foreclosure. This bill doesn't talk about that. It doesn't include them. Some of you might be behind in your mortgages. Well, this bill's not for you. It's for the rich man. $700 billion, brethren. I can't even imagine that amount of money. $700 billion. Blank check. You know, a few months ago, President Bush was given a bill, came across his desk, that would have essentially insured every child below 18 years old in America with health care insurance. It would have ensured that everyone has insurance that was a child. Everyone. You know, that breaks the back of so many middle-class people here in America, of your kids. You worry about that. How expensive is the health care insurance that you pay out of your check? You know, for a family of three or four, it's up to $800, $900, $1,000 a month for health care. Well, this bill would have given health care insurance to every child in America, and the price tag for this was only $4 billion total. $4 billion, folks. You know what President Bush said? He said the taxpayers can't afford this, so he vetoed it. $4 billion. And here we go. We've already spent $400 billion rescuing the financial markets, and they're about to take another $700 billion to rescue the banks. $700 plus $400 is over $1 trillion, folks. Over $1 trillion. That's over $1,000 billion to rescue these big banks, to rescue the big banks, folks. So you tell me, where are the priorities? Where are they? It makes me mad, folks. It really does. And you know what? God remembers these things. When you oppress the little people, his children, and no one cares about the poor, God remembers that. You're saying we should have welfare for everybody? I'm saying the attitude behind it, folks. It's the attitude. Our leaders do not care about the middle class. They don't care about the regular person that's working hard just to survive, to put gas in his car. It has been proven now. You know, on Monday, when the stock market went down more than 500 points, last Monday, John McCain got on TV and said that the economy is sound on that same very day. On the same day that the stock market dropped the worst amount since 9/11. The worst. Now, that shows you how in touch he is. Now, Mr. McCain, yes, he has Sarah Palin, but so what? It's a joke, folks. History is repeating itself, and here we go again. Folks, don't fall into it. Don't fall into this saga, this worship of Sarah Palin, just because she went to an Assembly of God church. You know, what's her foreign policy?
I don't know, but she goes to an Assembly of God church. She's a Christian.
What, do you think she'll start a draft?
I don't know, but she's a Christian.
Do you think she'll start a war with Russia?
I don't know, but she's a Christian.
Do you think she'll invade Iran?
I don't know, but she's a Christian.
Will she expand the spying laws, you know, the constitution-killing laws that are already inundating our lives now and intruding into our lives now? Will she expand those?
I don't know, but she's a Christian.
Come on, folks, wake up. I do want to rain on your parade, folks. I do. God is the one to put our trust in. If you want to put on a silly elephant hat or donkey hat, you know, that's your choice. That's your preference. You're over 21. You're an adult. That's the privilege you get. Go for it. And if you want to just do it just to do it, then do it. But what I'm trying to say is, don't put all of your faith in your political party, because your political party is going to let you down. They will, folks. Don't let politics blind you. That's what we have to be careful about. You know, the way I see so many people almost worshiping her, it's disgusting, folks. It's the same type of worship that I saw people doing with Todd Bentley. He's it. He's great. He's the answer. He's the answer. I see the same thing with Sarah Palin. It's a golden calf, is what it is. A golden calf, folks. A little statue. It's idolatry. Why do Christians insist on doing that? Why do Christians always have to have their Savior that's a human being? It makes no sense. But here we go again, and the people are doing it. Now, I want to say on record right now, brethren, mark my words. Officially, remember that I said this. If Sarah Palin becomes a vice president, and then something happens to John McCain where she becomes the new president of the United States, you are going to see her continue the butchering of the Constitution with the war on terror laws. You're going to see her enter America into new wars, and maybe even a draft will start under her. You'll see it, folks. Why am I saying that? Because I have ears, and I have eyes, and I have heard the things that she has said. I've heard them, folks. Now, being that she has an Assembly of God background, and she grew up that way, Pentecostal, the chance is very, very high and likely that she believes in the pre-tribulation rapture. The entire teaching of the end times that has been laid out by Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey, there is a very, very high chance that that's what she believes. And also, I'll say this, folks, there's a very, very high chance that if she does become president, she's going to have some advisors come to the White House to tell her what's going on with Bible prophecy and to explain to her how it's going to happen, how it's going to lay out, how things are going to play out. And the reason that I'm saying that is because that's what George Bush has done, or some people in his administration have done that. They have invited preachers to the White House to tell them how Bible prophecy is supposed to play out. Now, when Sarah Palin becomes the president, if she does, she's going to invite John Hagee to the White House because he's Assembly of God. There's a little kindred spirit going on there. And when John Hagee comes to the White House, he's going to explain to her his version of end time prophecy. Now, John Hagee has an interesting, twisted version of Bible prophecy. He has the typical pre-tribulation rapture teacher, which is wrong, by the way. It's not true. The teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture does not hold biblical scrutiny. It's not true, folks. Those of you that are new to this ministry, those of you that have not heard me before, I'll say this right here so that you know the pre-tribulation teaching is not true. But for 20 years, I used to believe that it was, brethren. I did. I thought it was, but then God opened my eyes. I started studying, and He opened my eyes that it's not true. So Sarah Palin is going to have John Hagee come to the White House and explain to her how it's supposed to play out. Now, John Hagee is a warmonger, and he has an unbalanced love and worship of Israel. Now, we should support Israel as Christians. It's very biblical. However, John Hagee has almost a fundamentalist, twisted view of it. He wants us to attack Iran. He wants us to preemptively bomb Iran with nuclear bombs and destroy Iran. John Hagee has said it on record. I've heard him. You can go to YouTube and hear him talk about it. Bomb Iran. We need to do a preemptive strike on them. Just get rid of them. It's really interesting. Jesus said, love your enemies, but Mr. Hagee really feels it's important to tell political leaders that we need to bomb them. So he will come to the White House and explain these things to her. It will influence his version of prophecy and what to do. So her foreign policy might very well occur and be based on what these men say. Very dangerous, folks. John Hagee's a very dangerous person to American foreign policy. He's very dangerous. Sarah Palin believes in the rapture. She's going to be influenced with that part of the equation. If America attacks countries and it causes the rapture, then so what? We'll all be gone. Who cares? You know, that's the attitude that some of these pre-tribulation rapture people have. There seems to be a love loss for the survivors after the rapture. Who cares? We'll be gone. They deserve it. They'll learn. It's very dangerous, folks. But that's what I see happening. Now, another thing I also want to say, as far as Sarah Palin is concerned, I don't know if she's going to win, brethren. It kind of looks that way. Some days it seems like she is, and then other days it seems like Obama's going to win. If Obama wins, we're in trouble as well. He's going to bring in the Nazi brown shirts. He has some very scary things he wants to do. So none of them, folks, am I putting my faith in. I don't trust any of them. None. Zero. Personally, I'm going to, I think, probably either not vote, or maybe I'll vote in the Constitution Party, who believes entirely in the freedoms of the Constitution. So if you've never heard of the Constitution Party, maybe you should check it out. But I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I really don't. But one thing I wanted to say is that Sarah Palin, if she becomes the president, will be our first woman president. It's very interesting that there are prophecies that have been made over the last, I believe, almost 100 years. Going back 80 or 90 years, there have been prophecies that have been published by different individuals who had the gift of prophecy. And I find it real interesting that I've heard this from two or three different prophecies, and whether or not they're true or not, I don't know, folks, but I'm just going to tell you this, all right? There have been prophecies given that said that the last president of the United States is going to be a female. It's going to be a woman. Prophecies say that, and it also says that this woman is going to be very beautiful, the final president. Now, when Hillary was running, I discussed these prophecies with some people in my Bible study, and I said, could it be Hillary? And unanimously, I always got the feedback that, well, I don't know what you think, but Hillary's not beautiful, in their opinion. They said that. And I said, yeah, but maybe the person that saw her thought that she was. You know, everyone thinks beauty's different. And so I just put it aside. But then when Sarah Palin got nominated, it's obvious, folks, she's a very beautiful woman. She's attractive. So if this prophecy that was made saying the last president is going to be a woman that's beautiful and attractive, Palin would fit that. And then also the other thing that these prophecies have said that's real interesting is that this woman would be a very cruel dictator in America. Very cruel. So that's interesting as well. Now, right now, Sarah Palin seems very nice. She seems like a good person. And you know, I don't have anything against her personally, folks. I do not. All right? I'm sure she's a good person. I'm sure she's nice. She seems nice. She has kids, you know. She seems nice. And I threw this out to someone in my Bible study. I said, well, she seems nice. You know, if the prophecy says she's going to be very cruel, how could Sarah do that because she seems so nice? And the person answered me back and said, absolute power corrupts absolutely, doesn't it? So I'll leave it at that, folks. I don't know if that could be her, but it's interesting, these days that we live in. Now, I want to move on and talk also about the largest bank failure in U.S. history. Washington Mutual finally died. Washington Mutual finally bit the dust. For those of you that have been listening to the news, you were expecting it to happen. The signs were all over their story. Their stock crumbled to almost nothing. And I believe that the bank regulators from the FDIC were going to wait till Friday afternoon after 5 to shut them down. But because of rumors that were starting to spread all over the world markets about bank runs, about ATMs that were out of money at WaMu, there were a lot of rumors that could have actually done more damage to the financial markets. So regulators decided to shut down Washington Mutual on Thursday instead of waiting till Friday, and that's what happened. Now, at the same time they seized their assets, they also had been doing some negotiating with J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, who's going to buy them. J.P. Morgan Chase is a huge institution, and they just took over Bear Stearns for pennies on the dollar 6 months ago, and now here they are buying Washington Mutual at fire sale prices. They made a killing, folks. They made a steal. It was highway robbery, almost, what J.P. Morgan was able to do in grabbing the shares of Washington Mutual, because they only paid $1.9 billion, and Washington Mutual has assets of over $300 billion. So they made a steal. Now, Washington Mutual does have $30 billion of bad loans in the books, but J.P. Morgan took that chance and bought them because if this bailout plan goes through, then they will be able to sell these bad loans to the U.S. government. So they made off. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company made off with a great deal in this. And you know, that just brings to mind and also confirms even more so how rigged this entire system is, because the owners of J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the primary owners, are the Rockefeller family and the Rothschild family. And J.P. Morgan Chase also happens to, out of coincidence, own a large percentage of the Federal Reserve. So the owners of the Federal Reserve, J.P. Morgan Chase, Rockefeller family, the Rothschilds, here they go again, folks. There is a fire sale going on in the United States for the largest institutions being liquidated. We're going to see bank mergers occur in the days ahead, and by the time the dust settles, there are going to be a lot less banks, but there are also going to be a few more powerful banks. J.P. Morgan, of course, being one of them. So that just occurred today, folks. WaMu died. Some of you might have been wondering, where have I been? Where's the watchman been? Where's Nathan been? I haven't heard from him in a while. Well, folks, I have been trying to get my house in order to prepare for what is going on right now. That's what I've been doing. I've been trying to prepare, and I'm still trying. I have not succeeded entirely because my funds are limited, and when you have limited funds, there's really not much you can do. But as best as I can, I've been trying to do things like get my car repaired, get it situated so if I need to, it's ready to go in case I have to leave the area. And folks, that's what you need to be doing right now too. You need to be getting your house in order. You need to be liquidating, getting rid of things that you don't need. You need to be trying your best to get out of debt. You know, folks, the day will come and the hour will come when it will be too late to get prepared. Every day this week, the details of what's going on with the bailout plan has changed. And it's an ongoing saga, and I don't really know if it's going to pass or if it will not, but by the time you're listening to this, possibly we might be hearing that some compromises were made and that it did pass in a revised form. So that's the big thing on the news right now, this bailout plan. $700 billion was the initial number that Henry Paulson, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, was asking for. And this plan that he came out with over last weekend, you know, that plan has been scrutinized, and the bill, the wording of that bill, has been scrutinized and dissected. I did the same thing myself, and I looked at it. And, folks, when I read the initial plan, I was alarmed. I was very uncomfortable. I guess to sum it up, the words in that plan were chilling because basically what it did was erase the U.S. Constitution in several areas. It gave too much power to the Treasury Secretary. And by the way, those of you that might not remember American government from high school, the Treasury Secretary is part of the administrative cabinet for a sitting president. The Treasury Secretary is appointed by the president, chosen, and he is confirmed by the Senate, but he is still appointed by the president, and he can be fired by the president. In this case, we have Mr. Henry Paulson, who became the Secretary Treasurer in 2006. Before he became the Secretary of the Treasury, he was the chairman and the CEO of Goldman Sachs. He headed it up. So he's an insider of one of those conglomerates, folks. And now here he is, Bush's appointee to run the Treasury. So when you keep hearing about the injection of money that happens into the stock market here and there, it's Hank Paulson that's doing it. That aside, folks, I had the plan and I looked at it. Now, my opinion, it just doesn't make sense, folks. It's bad math. It's bad for the taxpayers, and $700 billion on your shoulders and on your children's shoulders and on your grandchildren's shoulders does not sound like a good plan to me. I guess we'll see what's going to come out. Now, on the flip side of that plan, I have been hearing President Bush talk about how if the plan is not passed, he's hinted around and used words like layoffs, a recession, bad economy, banks closing, very sobering words, and he pretty much said everything except that a Great Depression would start if the plan didn't pass. Folks, are we in a lose-lose situation no matter what? These days are very serious, and I think it's begun, folks. I think this is it. If it's not it, praise God. If he gives us some more time, for those of us that aren't quite ready to get our houses in order and God wants to give us a few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months to finish the preparation that we were doing, I would take that and I wish it for you and for all of our sakes. But I don't know if we do have that much time, folks. I really don't. I really feel like the rug is going to get pulled out from under us. I believe that the ride is going to accelerate into financial Armageddon. The stock market is going to fall probably 30%. And that's another thing that I wanted to talk about. What can we expect to see if the plan doesn't work? Now, if the plan passes, the best case scenario that I can see for the plan passing, aside from the tax burden on our futures, the best case scenario that I see is the bloodletting will slow down. The hemorrhaging might be stopped. The plan's just a tourniquet. That's all it is. But it won't hold forever. The negative impact of that would be that it's going to make the dollar weaker, and it's going to cause inflation. It's going to cause food prices and everything that we buy, gasoline, oil, energy, all the things that we purchase and depend on, folks, all the things that you have in your budget when you get paid every week or every other week, the things that you buy to live your life are going to go up in price if the plan passes. So we have our political leaders telling us that the plan needs to pass to stop a meltdown, but at the same time, they're not telling you that $700 billion does not come from nowhere. It's going to come from a printing press. That's the source of the money, folks. When you dilute the dollar with that much money, $700 billion that doesn't exist, it's going to dilute the buying power for our dollar. How many of you remember in the 80s the story about Argentina when they went into hyperinflation? You know, I had a friend back in 1990 who was a refugee from Argentina. He lived through the hyperinflation days of Argentina, and he told me that it was crazy during those times. He said you would go to the grocery store and the store owner was changing prices all day long, constantly, because at the beginning of the day, as an example, the bread would be $5 for a loaf of bread, and then 4 hours would go by and the loaf of bread would then be $7 and he had to change the price, and then by the end of the day it was $10 and the prices were changing that fast. The next day he went back and the bread was $12, $15, $20. It was very hard on those people because their wages weren't going up and it totally destroyed their economy. Well, it might be possible that we may be looking at days like that in our future where the prices are changing that quick. So if this plan passes, prepare to see inflation. Now, I'm not saying hyperinflation is going to happen, but prepare to see inflation happen. Actually, it's been happening already, folks, for the last year or two. You know that things are going up. You're aware of it. Those of you that buy the milk for the kids and the cereal and the meats. Now, Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, he said the world cannot depend on a giant printing press as a fix for the world economy. And you know, he's right, folks. Just printing more money is not the answer. So you pay now or you pay later, but this plan is not good. Now, if something goes wrong with the plan, if it fails to stop the bleeding, I expect the stock market, and this is based on some of the opinions that I've heard from experts, because I have been listening to the experts, I've been trying to follow the stories, and from what I've heard, expect the stock market to drop 30% down to the 7,000 level or even lower. Jobs are going to be lost, of course. It will be a nightmare of people standing in line for food. Food's going to go up. It's going to be scarce. So if this plan doesn't happen, folks, it may well indeed be the fulfillment of those words that the prophets have been talking about. Now, in addition to food being scarce or unavailable, when there's no food, what can the people do? What usually happens in a society when there's no food? Well, several things do happen, but most likely the government's going to come up with some emergency aid to give to the people, and soup lines will be popping up. There'll be programs that will rise up and spark up, just like in the earlier depression, where people have to stand in line to get food for their family, whether it's soup or MREs. I don't know what it's going to be, but that's the scenario that we may be seeing, folks. We will also be seeing a lot of people that are going to lose their houses. All the possessions that they had and they worked so hard for, they're going to lose those through a combination of repossession or the sheriff banging on the door and kicking them out on the street, and the people not having enough time or resources to put their things in storage, they'll just walk away from them. Or because people will feel so desperate, they will want to just escape, get in their car, and just go to another area of the country where they have heard rumors that might be better. There will be a lot of migration that is going to go on in the days ahead, just like it happened in the first depression. Most of the Midwest started suffering the Dust Bowl, and a lot of farmers were losing their farms to foreclosure because there was no more credit, and they just packed up what little belongings they could pack into their trucks and they headed for California. By the way, if you feel like observing some of the lifestyles and ways that people dealt with things back then, rent the movie The Grapes of Wrath with Henry Fonda and watch that. It's an old movie, black and white, but just watch it, folks. It's very sobering. It's an awakening to see what some of the people endured back then. And you know, there are so many people that are blind now, as Christians especially, that say God would not allow us to suffer or to go through some bad times because He won't give us any more than we can handle or bear. And you know, folks, that's a lie. The Bible does not say that God would not ever allow Christians to suffer or to go through more than they can handle. In fact, the Bible says quite the opposite. The Bible is very clear and has established that it's only through suffering that we enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me. If you save your life, you'll lose it, but expect hard times to come. Expect purging to come." So folks, we're not above it. You know, the rest of the world has been suffering for millennia. There seems to be this fable in the West, or especially amongst Americans who are prideful and arrogant and think that they're better than everybody else. They think that God bleeds in red, white, and blue. They think that Jesus was an American. It's crazy. So here we are, folks. People standing in line for food. Now, in addition to that, what else can we expect? A lot of angry Americans. I would expect a lot of unhappy people. The natives are very restless, and I see the potential for societal breakdown in big cities especially, with riots. People just at their last leg. You know, when people are desperate, they do desperate things. And when men are desperate, trying to protect their family or care for their family or do things to help their family, a lot of men throughout time, it's human nature, folks. People can make very selfish choices in times of desperation. Now, banks are going to have bank runs. There's going to be a liquidity crisis where money runs out. Folks, you've seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember the part when George Bailey wanted to go on his honeymoon, and instead there was a bank run, and he used his honeymoon money to try to give some of his people money? Well, I'm not going to say it for sure what happened, but a worst case scenario, you can expect that to happen. Washington Mutual was having those things happen over the last several weeks. The ATMs for Washington Mutual were posting limits on how much people could withdraw. So in addition to bank runs, expect a run on food at the store, at your neighborhood Safeway, at your Kroger, at your HEB. Expect that, folks. People will get desperate and run to get food because if the story came out that there was a crash, I mean a literal crash, and it was on the headlines, Wall Street has crashed. Black Friday is happening right now, folks. And if the live news reports are showing people going crazy in Wall Street, all bets are off, folks. All bets are going to be off. Men's hearts failing them for fear. 401k plans are going to be vaporized. retirement funds are going to be vaporized. You know, if you have a retirement fund or a 401k that's attached to an institution that fails, to a money market account that fails, to a stock that fails and goes down and it's worth $50 one day and the next day it's 25 cents, I could see that causing men's hearts to fail in the natural. I could see that causing stress beyond belief for a lot of people. In addition to that, we can expect to see house prices to continue diving with the negative equity monster swallowing healthy home values. I've heard some reports where they still expect home prices to depreciate almost to half price of what they were originally valued at their peak just a year ago. So a lot of houses are going to be half price, folks. We expect to see that. What else would we expect in a crash? Well, layoffs in many sectors, including the government. You know, a lot of people feel that, well, I'm secure because I have a government job. Well, hold on there. There are municipalities whose budgets are in shortfall because of the tax revenue being lower because property values are decreasing. And the bottom line of that, folks, is that in a budget shortfall, you have to cut costs. And one of the easiest places to cut costs is bodies, employees. So layoffs will indeed happen in governments. No one is going to be immune, folks. Now, quite possibly, there will be some that will get to keep their jobs. Will they keep their jobs at a lower rate of pay, or will they escape immune because they were just very fortunate? Well, there will be some that are fortunate, brethren. Let's be honest. And if we were to try to guess which sectors would be immune from layoffs in a time of a crash, I would think that some government employment would possibly be immune, especially if it has to do with social programs, because they're going to need bodies. They're going to need an army of government employees to help society and to help the citizens. So some government jobs would be okay. Some will not be. It just depends on what they are and what department they are. There are going to be some areas that will weather the storm, folks. A depression doesn't mean that everybody loses their job. It just means a lot of people lose their job. Now, as far as statistics of unemployment, in the first Great Depression in the 30s, at its peak, I believe that the unemployment rate at that time was about 30%, maybe a few points higher than that. But if it was 30%, that would mean that the employment rate was 70%. So even still during the Depression, there were people working. That's the positive side maybe that we can look at. Now, we can't guarantee that the unemployment rate is going to be the same as the first Depression, but it does give us a model to look at and to kind of examine and try to, I guess, make some educated guesses. Of course, we have a totally different economy now, so it's going to be interesting, folks. That's why it's very important for all of us to be prepared and to do what we can to be able to weather what's coming. I have heard some experts also talking about what they can expect in the days ahead, and, you know, without fail, folks, without fail, when you have an economy that's in crisis, in a financial crisis, and we have history to look back on in many nations that went through financial crisis and calamity, and it seems that one of the most popular ways that a nation comes out of calamity is through war. So does that mean that the way that we will get out of this one is also a war? Quite possibly, folks. You know, before this started 2 weeks ago with the stock market and the way that it became very volatile, the main headline was the Russian problem. That hasn't gone away. You know, that has kind of disappeared from the headlines at the moment. Well, it's not gone, because our relations with Russia are deteriorating. There have been a lot of volatile words exchanged. It doesn't end with Russia. Then we have the Iranian situation. We have that happening. So it may indeed be possible that if we enter a new depression, that we will also enter a war eventually, or a war will come out of it. So if that happens, and if it's serious enough, expect there to be a draft. Especially if we went to war with Russia, that would be the only way that we could have enough manpower to engage in that war. So these are very, very trying days, folks. Oh, I almost forgot another area of tension. Mr. Chavez down in South America and Venezuela, that's entirely possible as well. So a war is not out of the question. And in fact, I expect eventually there to be a war of some sort, folks. Based on the prophecy picture, the movement of the chess pieces, if you will, of nations and alignments and the political structure, the infrastructure, and the way that the nations have aligned themselves with the New World Order, I see a war as actually helping to bring the New World Order about. So if we are living in the time of the end, so we can expect these other things that I just mentioned. Now, in addition to that, Here on our shores, I would expect emergency governmental measures to be enacted to try to squelch any uprisings and riots and angry mobs, angry people. So I expect the federal government to instill some very strong new laws, including martial law, soldiers in the streets, soldiers patrolling. Speaking of soldiers in the streets, I wanted to mention real quickly that the Army Times website, which is the website for the U.S. Army, has a story on their website, and it says that starting on October the 1st, soldiers will begin patrolling the streets of America under the control of NORTHCOM. Now, NORTHCOM was established after 9/11, and it's part of Homeland Security. It's the Northern Command. It was established in 2002, and NORTHCOM merged with NORAD. In fact, they just finished doing that. And NORAD used to be, for those of you that don't remember NORAD, NORAD is the bunker that we have inside Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. How many of you remember that movie War Games? A long time ago, 20 years ago, with Matthew Broderick, he was messing around with his phone and he tapped into NORAD's phone and he started playing chess with a computer, which almost started a nuclear war. That was in NORAD. You remember that movie? Well, NORAD is located in Colorado Springs inside that mountain, Cheyenne Mountain. Well, NORAD is going to merge with NORTHCOM, which is located also in Colorado Springs on Peterson Air Force Base, and NORTHCOM is our Homeland Protection. Well, starting on October the 1st, NORTHCOM is going to have under its control the 3rd Infantry's 1st Brigade Combat Team under NORTHCOM's command, and the purpose of this 1st Brigade Combat Team is to be at the ready to patrol the homeland. They'll be on call as necessary in 1-year rotations. So the 1st Brigade will be doing it starting October the 1st for 1 year. Now, the purpose of their on-call protection will include natural or man-made disasters or terrorist attacks, and it's going to be a permanent mission. After a year, they'll be rotated out with another brigade. But the interesting thing about this is that on their website, it says that they will also be called up to help with civil unrest and crowd control. And they are also going to have at their disposal the first ever non-lethal package weapon to be used on crowds for crowds control, non-lethal weapons. And there are some non-lethal weapons that our military has come up with that are very interesting in what they do to people, making people feel sick, throw up, feel like they're on fire. There are several of them, and some of them are very disturbing in what they can do. But it's just interesting, folks, that NORTHCOM is going to, on October the 1st, start this. Hopefully it's just business as usual and it was already part of the plan. Homeland Security would need that in the event of a terrorist attack, and we would need some people on the ground. And that's the hopefully innocent way of looking at it, and the American way of looking at it, and the unsuspicious way of looking at it. But that aside, brethren, you know, if we're supposed to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves, there are some people that are very concerned about this because they are wondering and asking the question, does the U.S. government expect something to happen after October the 1st? Is there an October surprise that they're expecting? Is there an attack that they are aware of and they don't want us to know about, a terrorist attack? Or are they expecting the economic crash to occur very soon? And so that's why they have actual soldiers on the ground to try to control the uprisings that may be expected as an offshoot of that. Folks, it's healthy to ask those questions. So will a coming depression trigger the need for that? Will it? The days ahead are dark, brethren. They're going to be dark. They are ominous. They are sobering. And folks, I just ask you. I ask you to please wake up. The clock is ticking, folks. Tick tock. It's not going to stop and wait for you to get your house in order. It's not going to stop. There are rules in this world, folks, and by going with the foolish decisions that many do in our world, there are consequences. So that's why I'm saying these words, to prepare yourself and do what you need to do. Since we're talking about what to expect during a meltdown, I can expect already that some people would email me and ask me which areas are better in the country to be located in. Which areas are better than others? Which areas are safer? Which areas are more dangerous? I think that a question like that can only be answered with prayer between you and God, and maybe some counsel of others that have more information about your area or the options that you have. But to answer the question, will there be some areas better than others? Of course, yes, there will. I would say that the inner city of some big cities, if you have gang problems before things even start, well, if people are angry and hungry and they know that you have food, possibly that wouldn't be a good equation. So, folks, if you need to do what you have to do to change that situation, I would just say do it. Between you and God, you just do it. All right? Now, you know, I think those of us that have been keeping track of the hurricane that just hit Houston, Hurricane Ike, I think that we could probably learn some lessons about that whole scenario and some of the things that have come out of that one. Now, I have family in Houston. I have friends there. I have some supporters there. By the way, if I haven't heard from some of my supporters that are in Houston, so I hope that you're okay. I hope that you weathered the storm okay. But, you know, folks, it's been almost about 2 weeks now, and there are many in Houston still without power. They said that it was going to be 2 to 4 weeks before everyone had their power restored, and that's what we are observing right now. Now, in addition to that, there are many who had no food before the hurricane, so after the hurricane, without their power, they might not have food, but FEMA arrived in Houston and has been handing out the emergency meals ready to eat packs, the MREs that the military uses, you know, those dehydrated food packs. They've been handing those out to the citizens. So a lot of people that had no food, who were unprepared, found themselves the day after the hurricane with no power. It was totally dark in their house. And maybe their house didn't sustain much damage. Maybe there was a tree that fell in the front yard and didn't do a lot of damage, or maybe it did a little bit of damage. Actually, that's the story in the Houston area. Most of the damage has been from fallen trees, hitting houses, and damaging cars. Of course, it's a different story in the coast. But the day after the hurricane, after the water subsided, had no power. So all the food that was in their fridge and freezer was destroyed. It was ruined. So folks, think about that. That's what I'm talking about as far as a lesson from Houston. Now, a lot of people usually think that the power is only going to be out for 2 or 3 days at the most. In fact, Homeland Security says expect to have enough food for 3 days. Well, in this scenario, folks, for Houston, 2 to 4 weeks without power means no refrigerator. So for the people that were in the habit of doing just-in-time grocery purchases, you know, what are we having for dinner, dear? I don't know. Let's go to the store and buy some hamburger helper. And a lot of people live that way. Their cupboards don't really stay full. There's not a habit, a healthy habit of having full cupboards. Well, for those individuals who've lived that way for a long time, and really the only food they had was in the fridge, and then when the power was out, there was no more food to eat. Think about that, folks. No power. Or if you open the cupboards and maybe there was some hamburger helper or some top ramen that you could just throw water in, well, there was no power to cook it. So what did the people do? What did they eat? That's what I'm talking about as far as a lesson to learn from Houston, because my father's down there with my brother in Houston. I have friends there, and they told me that it was a struggle. It was challenging to try to cook for the family when there's not much, when half of your utilities and your resources and your equipment isn't even working. The lesson from that, my father was telling me, was even if you had food in the cupboard, do you have water to cook the food? So that's one of the challenges. So that's why it's important to have some water saved up or a water filter, because some people were able to turn on their water, but they said the water was very turbid and it wasn't healthy and you had to boil it. Well, it's inconvenient, folks, but even still, you wonder, is this healthy? Did I get all the critters that might have been in my water out? So that's a perfect argument right there on why it's important to have a water filter. So that was one lesson that I saw coming out of that, having a water filter. Another one was, my father was telling me that the reason they were able to cook was because they had a lot of camping gear in the garage, and they had a camp stove with those little propane tanks, the little mini ones, and a little burner, a propane burner. So they were able to cook with a little camp stove, and that's what they did. But how many people did not have that? Let's learn a lesson from this, folks. Get the things that you need, that you would need to survive different scenarios of no power, no way to cook, no source of water. So you have to filter water. So this is a very, very good lesson, brethren. My brother went out and bought a generator, and he was able to light up a part of his house with his generator, but it wasn't easy. It was a struggle. And now that things are getting back to normal, it's still a challenge, and it's not easy to go through something like that. But the other thing I was going to say was, for the people that did not have those resources of a camp stove or a water filter or a generator, if you looked at the images from Houston, folks, initially, the first few days, over 2 million people had no power. So out of those 2 million people, how many had food that they could warm up on a little camp stove? Not as many. So as a result of that, you had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who had to go and wait in line, stand in line, for FEMA to give them some MREs, those dehydrated food packets. And they waited a long time. So by not being prepared, the people found themselves in line. That was the trade-off. If you're not prepared, you will stand in line. That's the bottom line. So if we are going to have an economic crash, folks, and I expect something to happen. I said, welcome to the Great Depression in my introduction, and I really believe that we are already in a Great Depression, folks. All the pieces that are going to line up just haven't happened yet, but we're there, brethren. When you're talking about such serious legislation, folks, we're there. They just don't want to tell us. They don't want to say it, but we're there. So, folks, if you're not prepared, you will stand in line. Be a hero now and get the things you need to do. Sacrifice those purchases that aren't as important, the luxury items that you want to get. Sacrifice those things for now. You have to do it, folks. You don't want to be in line, brethren. You do not want to be in line. Also, another thing my father told me about was that he was concerned about his heart medicine running out, and he came pretty close to it running out. So another lesson I saw about that was, if possible, for those of you that need regular medication, try to have some extra medication just in case you wouldn't be able to get to a pharmacy for a week or two. Don't let it get down too low. Refill it before you need to. That would be my advice. Also, those of you that wear glasses, get an extra pair of glasses now while you can, and just put it in a case and store it in a drawer somewhere so that in case you were in a crisis, if your glasses broke, folks, I wear glasses myself, and I cannot imagine having to maneuver myself and just living my life without glasses. I mean, it would be a totally different world. So those of you that wear glasses, have an extra pair. I did that a few months back, and I have them in a drawer just in case. So that's another thing that you should put on your list. All right, brethren? So, folks, that's what I wanted to talk about. I'm running out of time now, so we are going to have to close. Folks, I know I have been absent longer than I wanted to in the past few weeks, but there are some things I'm trying to get my leg worked on. You know, I have a leg injury where I haven't been able to walk, and I'm trying to get some help with that. I might be getting some surgery on my leg. Some things were worked out where I could get help with that, so I might be doing that. So that's what's been going on in my delay, and I apologize for that, but I am going to come back stronger than ever, because there are so many things going on that I really want to share, and we need to talk about them and have them out in the open, because we need to really understand what's going on, brethren. I appreciate you for listening, and folks, again, please try to understand my heart and where I'm coming from. You know I say, and they might sound strong and they're going to be offensive, but folks, I'm saying this because I want to reveal the truth. Not everything is as it seems, folks. They're not being truthful with us. There is a huge ministry of propaganda. I mean, look at this, folks. In Revelation 13:2, it says, the dragon gave the beast his power. The devil, Satan, is a liar, brethren. Come on. He's the father of lies. And if he's raising up the beast infrastructure now, do you really think we're going to get the truth from our politicians if Satan is behind it? Of course not. And do you really think we're going to get the truth from our media? Of course not. Now, we will get bits and pieces of truth from them. But what essentially happens here in America, it's all an outright lie. What happens in America with the media is it's through omission. We're just given a little part of the story, and the rest of it is left out. I'm trying to bring this warning to you, brethren. I'm trying to show you that we really need to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We really need to be vigilant, and we're not going to be vigilant by keeping our head in the sand. We are not going to be vigilant by ignoring the truth or being apathetic or complacent. Okay, folks? So I'm going to wrap this up now. I appreciate your emails. God bless you. Keep praying for us, folks. I really need your prayers. I thank you for your support, those of you that have supported, and keep that support coming. I also need that as well. So God bless you, folks, and we'll see you next time.